Hey everyone, and welcome to the 27th episode of the One of Us Community Podcast. This podcast will be an opportunity to highlight some of the amazing members of the One of Us community and help you meet some of the people that make this the greatest group of individuals on the internet. The One of Us community is an inclusive gaming community made up of content creators, viewers, and gamers from all over the world. The community focuses on the tenets of playing games, having fun, and helping to lift each other up. Discord is open to all people who share these values at discord.gg/oneofus. Make sure you follow and review the podcast wherever you can to help others find it and join the community. Also, you can now sub to the podcast at anchor.fm/OOUcompod/support. All monetary support goes to bringing out more episodes, commissioning artwork and music, and future giveaways. My guest this week is my main man, Squeege. Squeege is a hardcore gamer that is putting in the time to grind out everything from Destiny to Realm Royale while balancing family life and a killer work schedule. He sits down with me tonight to talk about games, work life, and answer some questions from the community. So sit down, relax, and enjoy the next hour with our good friend Squeege on the One of Us Community Podcast. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the 27th episode of the One of Us Community Podcast. I'm Roxy Roller. I am joined tonight by the man himself, Squeege. How are you tonight, bud?
Oh man, I'm doing good.
Doing good? What are you up to on this fine Friday night?
Today we decided that we were gonna change out an AC compressor on my sister's car. She's about to move.
Oh man.
That's... Yeah, so I was playing Harry Potter all day.
Yeah, you were super excited about that. It's the new Harry Potter mobile game, right?
Yeah. That Niantic just came out with.
So is that kind of like a Pokemon Go type of deal?
Yeah, it's kind of like Pokemon Go. You run around town and have like little arenas that you can battle and creatures you can battle and stuff. It's pretty cool so far.
I only got
like a couple hours into it before my brother called and was like, "Hey, you want to work on Sierra's car?" And I was like, "Oh."
Oh man. Okay. No, I want a fucking wizard around town. But yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I can come help.
That's dope. Because I saw you say something you're gonna start making YouTube stuff and things like that for it, right?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, hopefully after this and after the kiddo goes to bed, we're gonna finish editing the first video. It was just basic gameplay and some stuff that I found throughout the day that helped.
That's cool.
Learned after I did it, I was like, oh, yeah, people should do it this way instead.
Yeah. Right.
One of those.
So for anybody in the community that might not know who you are, or might have not caught one of your streams, who are you and what do you do on the internet right now?
Well, we're getting into streaming. I say getting into it 'cause I'm still learning day by day. Yeah. I welcome everybody that comes in and gives me tips 'cause I've had some pretty great people that have come in and, you know, don't announce lurkers and stuff like that, because I was real bad at it when it first started.
Oh god,
I was just saying hey to everybody. I didn't even care.
Yeah, and like when you start out, like it seems like the right thing to do, right? And then when people explain to you why like you don't want to do that, it's like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then even then you still get a couple of people who get mad because you don't say hi to them when they come in.
Yeah,
so, you know, but it's a fine straight edge that you have to walk right there. But other than that, I work in Oldfield as a supervisor. Been doing that for, let's see, going on 4 years as a supervisor. And before that, I, you know, worked my way up from a floor hand all the way up to supervisor. So it's the same company.
That's good.
Worked 2 weeks on, worked 2 weeks off, and, you know.
Yeah, you've had quite the crazy schedule to try and fit in streaming, huh?
Oh yeah, especially since we started buying the house that we got coming up. You know, like the wife's all, I want a new couch and new bed and stuff like that, and so it's nothing to go work another week and double up your check and be able to buy all that stuff. You know,
I hear that. In the summer, so like my dad and one of his friends started a business probably 30 years ago installing like irrigation, like residential irrigation systems, so like in-ground sprinklers, like automated systems and shit like that. So like when I was like 13-14, like I started going to work with them, and so now when summer rolls around, I work usually Saturdays, sometimes Sundays, doing that, And like, it's backbreaking shitty labor, but it's like a couple hundred extra bucks a fucking week. And it goes in, goes into a little envelope, and it pays for hunting season and our trip to Michigan in August and all that good shit. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah, you got to. Yeah, I mean, it's much easier. Like, I mean, I could spread it out, and we could, you know, get a new couple months or
something. Yeah. So when... what's that?
Nah, go ahead.
No, so when you do find time to stream, what games have you been streaming?
I started with Destiny, just because I was a big Destiny player. Mm-hmm. Like, from D1 to D2, I can't even tell you that I downloaded another game to play outside of Destiny.
Right.
Like, it was either Destiny or Division, and Division I was just playing when Destiny had reached. Like, I had been capped.
Yeah, you know, you've got everything.
And, you know, just waiting on a new season. I was like, all right, well, Division's just come out, some of the good stuff, so let's jump on Division. And so we'd go, me and the guys that I play with that are, you know, that I work with, we'd run and we'd do some Division, and, you know, Destiny would come out with a new thing, and we'd just jump over back on it. And so when I first started streaming, it was just strictly Destiny.
Yeah.
So I could, you know, find people to play with, find people to raid with, and mm-hmm. I was already, you know, doing LFGs and all that. So I was like, man, if I can get, you know, some people that I can play with continuously, you know, just streaming, and, you know, people jump in chat and they, hey, I need help. Well, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, and since building a PC and, you know, trying to get an actual good use out of my PC, I play quite a bit of Apex Legends now.
Do you?
And, but no, I mean, it's mainly Apex Legends. We did have me and Brew, which I've known Brew for a long time. You know, he has his high res days, so
yeah,
I'm always down to help him play some high res. So, you know, Realm Royale or any of that, we would jump on that. And, you know, he had whenever I met him a long time ago in D1, but whenever,
oh really,
you know, we started playing with him again, because he wasn't playing a lot of Destiny. You know, he was off playing, you know, Paladins or Realm Royale or, you know, the other games. Yeah.
He's one of those guys that escaped Destiny somehow.
Yeah. and it's mainly just because he doesn't have the grind for it anymore. You know, he's got the kids and stuff like that. And Destiny's a grind. If you, mm-hmm. like, I haven't played Destiny in maybe, you know, 3 or 4 months. And now I get on it and I'm like, dude, I don't even know what to do.
Yeah. It's like, it can be over. Like, I think, like, the one nice thing about the annual pass is, like, it brought in a lot of content throughout the year. But the other side of it is, like, if you took time off, man, there's so much shit to do. You don't know where to start.
Yeah, it's definitely got a bunch of stuff to do now. I jump on and I just, like, you know, and I know the grind of stuff, you know, how to power level and everything else. So it's like, I'll do those things first, and then it'll come to new content, and I'll be like, well, let me pull my phone out because I haven't been paying attention to this at all.
Let me YouTube this real quick.
Right? Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So you've been playing Apex Legends too then?
Oh, yeah. I've been trying to grind my PC character out for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it definitely took a lot of work though, because at first I can tell you I was definitely not good. Not as good as it was on Xbox. Right, just because I haven't played on a mouse and keyboard in probably like 6 years since I graduated college and stuff.
And it's a tough transition to make, too.
Yeah, you go, and now, like, if I grab my Xbox controller to jump on something, I'm like, oh, man, what buttons do I press?
It feels foreign, I know.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking back to, like, the end of D1 and stuff, where, like, I played, you know, 1,000 hours of Destiny 1 on controller. And, like, to the point where, like, I had, you know, control freaks, like, I had remapped my buttons, like, and I was pretty decent in, like, the Crucible and shit like that. I went back the other day to try to play it, and I felt like I had never played on a controller before. Yeah, it was so weird.
I definitely grabbed my controller, and it takes me a second. Like, I went over to my brother's house, and we were eating and stuff, and I grabbed his controller because he don't play Apex. We just have it downloaded on his for when I'm over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, man, dude. Like, I don't even remember what Breton's depressed. So I'm over there, like, in mid-game trying to map his buttons so I can remember everything.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we're not going to win this one, I can tell you that, just because I'm standing here out in the open with no weapon mapping buttons real quick.
So have you always been a gamer then?
Yeah, for a long time. I played a lot of Call of Duty when I was in school, mm-hmm. and then, you know, the GTAs and all that whenever those came out. But, I mean, I would say since Pokemon Red, maybe, I've been playing video games. You know, it was definitely the grind.
Yeah.
Pokemon Red, and then probably one of my all-time favorite games that will never, ever get made again is the actual Dragon Ball Z, where, like, it was, you know, an RPG, like, you run around and you level up your Goku.
Oh, wow.
That came out on Game Boy, and it was, like, to me, those were, like, the best games. Like, Legend of Zelda, like, running around, grinding out stuff, and that's mainly all the games I ever played until, you know, Call of Duty came out. And then after that, it became grinding out 100% achievement or 1,000% achievements on, you know, your score.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that there was a Dragon Ball RPG. So I learned something new.
It's really old, and it's, every once in a while, you know, I'll jailbreak the phone and download it and play through my phone or something, and it's just like, man, this game, it could have been so good, you know.
Yeah. So you played a lot of Pokemon when you were younger then?
Oh yeah, Pokemon Red, Yellow.
What was it about the Pokemon games that really attracted you?
I think it was just the, you know, the running around and trying to fill out everything. Like, you want to have 100% Pokedex, you know?
Yeah, you're trying to. You're a completionist.
Yeah. So, like even when I play Destiny or something like that, like, I want to have all the exotic weapons, and up until the update, I did have all the exotic weapons. And so I've never been one that's, like, cares about specific, you know, getting the weapon that has, like, God roll on it. Like, I'm not gonna sit there and run the same strike 15 times.
Yeah.
But I will run that same strike like 10 or 15 times if it has an achievement for it.
See, that's the funny thing, is like I was never about, like, grinding for, like, the perfect roll or, like, the perfect stat roll. Like, even in, like, Diablo or Division and stuff like that. Until, like, Destiny 2 didn't have it, and then they brought it back, and I'm like, wow, like, this is kind of fun to just kind of farm content for different roles. But it's funny when you said, you know, Brew doesn't have the grind for Destiny anymore, and, like, I still have, like, the feeling of wanting to grind Destiny, but I don't have that completionist factor like I did, like, before. Like,
yeah.
In D1, like, I had literally everything. Like, there was nothing in there that I didn't have. You know, I made it to the lighthouse. You know, I had all the exotics, you know, all that stuff. And then, like, my son was born, and, like, Destiny 2 came out, and I was just like, I really don't care if I miss stuff now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's just stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There's just certain stuff that, like, I don't really care to go chase.
Yeah.
And it's kind of freeing, because you can kind of enjoy the, the game a little bit more.
Oh yeah, you're definitely not sitting there, like, super mad about the RNGesus didn't drop the weapon you wanted.
you want to talk about RNG? Like, there was a auto rifle in Destiny 1 called the Doctrine of Passing, and at a certain point that was, like, the meta crucible weapon, and it could only be gotten from Trials of Osiris. And you had a chance to get a drop when you got to 7 wins, and then you had another chance when you got to the chest. But it had to drop with a certain perk to be effective. So we got to 7 wins. I didn't get it. And the one time I ever went flawless, I pulled an adept version out of the chest that had the right perks and was basically, like, the most perfect roll of this gun. And I just happened to get it, like, the only time that we ever made it to made a flawless card and made it to the lighthouse. And I was like, wow, this couldn't have gone any better, you know?
Yeah.
So you said you played a bunch of Call of Duty too, right?
Yeah, I used to be like real into multiplayer. But I mean, it wasn't just multiplayer. Like I would do story modes on like, hard, legendary, like I wanted, it was an achievement thing. I wanted the 1,000 game score.
Yeah, okay. Now, is that like your first experience into shooters?
Call of Duty was, yeah.
Yeah. Which Call of Duty did you start with?
Oh, snap. Maybe Call of Duty 3?
Okay. Yeah. Those are good ones. Was that Big Red One or was that 1942?
I think it, oh, I don't know. It
I
was
don't
so
remember
long
either.
ago.
Yeah. No, I remember COD 3 because you used to be able to put iron sights on the bolt action snipers
Yeah.
and run around with iron sight sniper rifles.
Oh yeah.
Cool. So do you play mostly shooters now, it sounds like, other than, obviously the Harry Potter mobile game?
Well, I mean every once in a while I don't grind out of like a whole bunch of non-shooters. Like I'll still play League of Legends every once in a while whenever, Apex or something gets me upset.
Yeah.
And I'll still play. I mainly play shooters. Yeah,
That's cool.
it's like every once in a while, World of Warcraft. I opened it up the other day and I was like, oh man, this,
Oh, really?
if I, yeah, like if I jump on this game, you're not gonna be able to talk to me for like a very long time.
I never pegged you as a WoW player.
Oh yeah, back in the day, played it for a very long time. But if I do it now, like, my wife and my child would probably hate me, because that's just one of those games you have to grind all the time on.
I
You
really
think,
do.
yeah, like Destiny. No game will ever compare to the grindage that you have to grind on World of Warcraft.
No.
Otherwise, you will just be completely like you'll log in 2 days later and be completely lost on everything that's changed.
Right? Yeah, I remember guys that used to play it in college, man. You wouldn't see them for fucking weeks at a time.
Oh yeah.
It's insane. It's also scary. Like, it's weird how video games can kind of tick that like addictive nature of our personalities.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's how it was whenever I was in college. It was just like if you even seen me in class, I was running late because I was coming from a game and I was like sprinting across the campus to get to class.
Oh man. So when did you first starting to get start to get into content creation?
I would probably say about a year ago, maybe. Like I've been playing with Brew for a while, and he had been talking about it, and he's like, man, you just try it, just give it a try. And so, I started off how a lot of people started off, with just streaming off the Xbox, and even then I was still like just playing Destiny, and I had come across some pretty good communities of guys that were, strictly playing Destiny. And it was just fun to be able to go stream a raid or something and try a world's first or something like that. And I was just like, man, this is cool. Just 'cause, like, here it is. If our team beats this raid before anybody else, like, it's always gonna be remembered. I could save this
Right.
forever.
Yeah.
You know?
It's kind of a cool feeling to know that like everything's being documented, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all those times that you might have had like the craziest play and you just didn't
Oh
have a
yeah.
chance to save it, like now it's there. Like you can always go back and get it.
Yeah, for sure. And so, I did it for a little while to see if I even was gonna really be into it, because the talking while streaming, like always having like a conversation going or something, has always been a problem. Like I get so focused on the game that, I still do it today. Like it's like I'll focus so hard on the game and what's going on that I won't even say anything for a long time. And so I mean, it's definitely something I'm still working on, and it's mainly just because like I'm not super social person. Like you can ask my wife. We go out to like the bar or something, she'll be out talking to everybody, and until I'm almost blackout drunk, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm gonna be over here sitting down drinking my beer or something.
Yeah, right.
And then, but I mean, once I get drunk, we're good. I'll be dancing around and screaming at everybody.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because we had I have a friend in another Discord, one of the guys that I play Skater XL with, and he just decided that he wanted to jump into streaming and stream some of the skater stuff, and he was asking a couple of the other guys in Discord, you know, who do stream, what do I need to do to get better, like, you know, I want to be good at this, and everybody, yeah, like resounding answer was, you know, learn to talk more, like, just. And I think like that's one of the things that as starting streamers, like, people struggle with the most is just, how do you talk to zero people?
Yeah, definitely.
And I've said it before. I think that's why I gravitated to Destiny when I started streaming, because like I can sit there and mindlessly play Destiny almost, and then be able to narrate, like focus on narrating what I'm doing and talking about, you know, Destiny and whatever's going on. And it definitely helps to kind of break that ice with people when they join in, when you're already there having a conversation with yourself.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, that's the reason why I'm like trying to get Destiny back into, you know, my stream schedule, is mainly because of that reason. Yeah. Like at one point in time, I knew a lot about Destiny. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew if you wanted to get something, or if you wanted to do a special quest to get that gun, I knew which one it was and how to do it.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it was easy. It was definitely easy to talk about, just because, you know, there's so much content. You could sit there and just talk about it for days.
Yeah.
And so I think whenever I took Destiny off of the playlist and started playing Apex and stuff like that, because Apex, you definitely, you know, it's very hard to watch it and talk at the same time. You know, it's especially on PC, it moves so fast.
I know. You know? It does feel like it moves quicker on PC, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, dude. I play on console now and I'm just like, oh man, like, come on, sprint, what are you doing? Which the other day I played on my brother's console and it didn't feel as bad. But, I mean, I didn't play any on PC that day.
Yeah.
And so, like, I got on there and it was like, oh, you're moving pretty quick. It wasn't that bad. But, like, if I go from playing PC straight into playing on my Xbox, yeah, you know, somebody wants to play on Xbox or something, I'm just like, holy crap. Like, nothing's moving at the speed it's supposed to.
Well, I think, like, the wider field of view on PC definitely contributes to that too, because you see so much of it. Like, people always come into my stream and they're like, how are you running so fast? I'm like, I'm not. I'm like, the wider field of view just plays tricks with your mind.
Oh yeah.
And when you combine that with the jump from, like, in my case, 120 frames per second to 30 frames per second, it's jarring. It's very, very jarring.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And that's why, like, I'm sure you saw the announcement that Destiny 2 will be cross save in the fall, and going, you know, the main game will be going free to play, and it's like, it's great, but like, I'm not gonna go to Xbox and take my characters there to play, because I can't do it.
Yeah, definitely couldn't do it.
But it's
just because,
yeah,
of the video quality of, mm-hmm, you know, everything doesn't seem right now.
But I know there's a lot of people that have wanted to come and play on PC that don't want to grind out, you know, three more characters again and go get their Whisper and their Outbreak and, you know, all of those things. And this will afford them the opportunity to just take all of the work that they've done over the last 2 years and on Xbox and be able to jump over and play on PC for a little bit and then go back and raid with their buddies on Xbox. And it's going to be a really nice advancement for the game, I think.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to it, just because I've wanted to play on PC for a while now. And that's the only reason why I haven't, is because, like, I grinded three characters out, you know, had the Whisper, have all that, and yep, it's just like, do I really want to do all that again? Because, like, whenever, I want to say it was in D1, like, I had stopped playing for quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then, like, maybe a year or so. And my buddy was like, man, you need to get onto it. Like, it's so much better than it was whenever it first came out. And, you know, because I had stopped playing, like, maybe 6 months after it came out. We had already grinded everything out. There was nothing to do.
Yeah.
And so he's like, it's just better. You need to get on. So I was like, all right. Well, they were all capped, you know, the 400 light or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I jump on, and I was, like, 100 and something. And there were days that I put in, like, 18 to 20 hours. It was, like, right before the kiddo was born, like,
yeah,
and everything else. And I was putting in 18-hour days of just playing straight Destiny just so I can catch up with people.
Oh, my God. And,
yeah, and I was like, man, if I get it on PC, you know, and I try to swap over, like, it's not that I would do that. It's like I would want to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I could
catch up, and I don't want to, you know, be on my PC here in the living room and, you know, just ignoring everybody that's going on the outside.
Yeah. It's one of those games that, like, when you start grinding, like, you want to be up there. And that's why, like, I think that the way they've been doing it lately, where, like, each time a new season comes out, there's a quest that gets you up to, like, late level, like, within, like, a half an hour, you know. And it's a great, because there is a lot of people that step out for a month or 2 months or just don't enjoy a season, and they come back and they want to play with their friends and they want to play the new stuff. But then they've got, you know, 4 hours of light level grinding behind them or in front of them, and it sucks, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And especially, like, if you don't do it a specific way, or if you never grinded out three characters, it'll take you, you know, weeks of resets, yeah, just waiting. So, I mean, I'm definitely excited for the cross save. That way,
yeah,
I can,
yeah, me too,
try on PC and see what the super hype is about.
Oh, you never go back, guaranteed.
Oh, I'm sure I will never go back. Because, I mean, all the people that I used to raid with don't even really play it anymore.
Yeah.
So it's not like that's a big loss.
Yeah, right. All right, so you started to get into streaming, right? And you kind of found that you dug it a little bit. How did you wind up on Mixer?
So the whole time playing, you know, with Brew, and, you know, you hear about how toxic Twitch community is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's really everywhere. Like, I became a streamer and I've been in it, you can find it anywhere.
Yeah.
If you know,
the internet.
It really, yeah, I mean, internet is the internet.
Yeah.
There's people out there that troll people all the time. And so, you know, and I had talked to Brew and I was like, man, what do you think? And he, you know, he's just like, go Mixer. Like, you know, he already had y'all as a great community.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was helping me out with it, helping me set everything up, make sure everything was looking right. And then, you know, there for a long time, we co-streamed, you know, like every third day or something, you know, so that he can make sure that I was talking all the time, or that, you know, yeah, at least if we're co-streaming, he's talking all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And so, it definitely helped out a lot. And then, you know, he introduced me to the One of Us, and after that, it was like, okay, well, he was like, here, just, you know, watch some of these guys and watch what they do. And, you know, and that's how I started coming around everybody.
Yeah. It's interesting, like, how the co-stream feature on Mixer works, because I think it's a wonderful tool for when people are starting out, because it does make it easier to learn how to talk on camera and, like, how to entertain viewers and respond to chat, because you've always got somebody with you to kind of bounce off of.
It's just
learning to then do, like, carry that on with you, like, as you go solo. And, like, I had a hard time with that when I started on Twitch, was that, like, if I was playing, like, if I was streaming with somebody, like, in Discord, like, we were playing a game together or something like that, like, I found it really easy, and I struggled so hard when I'd go solo.
Right.
And it was weird, like, the thing that flipped it for me is I used to have my camera directly in front of me, like, on the monitor I was playing on, and I would just naturally become, like, subconsciously aware of, like, my face. And so, like, I would focus on, like, not letting, like, my mouth hang open, like, while I'm, like, focused or something. But yeah, that would, like, my brain would start doing that instead of focusing on talking. And I moved my camera like literally 8 inches to the left onto my second monitor. And for some reason, like that took all of that out of my mental state. And then I was able to focus on like actually talking to myself and then eventually talking to chat. And it was weird how like that one like small change really helped out.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, because I mean that's the reason why I haven't been using my webcam is because now, you know, like I look at it and mine sits on top of the TV, so it points down on me, and then like so like I'm trying to like I'll just get focused on sitting back further in my chair or moving forward or something like that, and then now I'm like so focused on how I look on the stream that it's like man, if I take it off, like I won't even look at it, like it won't even be there. I can just focus on, you know, playing and talking and continuing, you know, just talking
things
about
that are important. That's why I think like so many people are like super successful streaming without a camera for a while, because then you're able to focus on the engagement instead of how you look or how you're sitting or, you know, that type of shit. Like but I'm sure brings along with it challenges with, you know, when you finally do turn the camera on, like that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah. And you know, that was some of the like most helpful advice I'd got off of from the beginning was you know, you don't need a webcam, like, because, you know, whenever I first went streaming, I started building the PC, I started buying all the things I needed, you know, to elevate the streaming, and, you know, they were like, you don't need all that, just see if you like it, you know, see if you can keep talking, and it definitely helped, just because the advice I got was, if you're not going to be, like, on the webcam and people can see you, you need to be 2 or 3 times more vocal.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because people, you know, if you have your webcam, people can see you get excited about the kill or about the win or, you know, whatever. And then if they can't see you, then you have to be able to express how excited you are about it.
Oh yeah. I know, yeah. Like when something crazy happens, like in Destiny, or I get a good drop, like there's a lot of times that like my reaction or like my communication with chat is like strictly through like a facial expression where I'll just like look at the camera and just be like, holy shit, you know? And
yeah,
you lose that without the camera, but if you don't have the kind of like passive engagement of just being able to talk through what you're doing and talk about your day and shit like that, like it doesn't, that facial part doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you get the webcam and you still have to be just as much of a talker, but, you know,
you can people supplement can see, it. Yeah.
Yeah. People can see that you're super excited about it.
Yeah. 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 So what part of streaming really got you into wanting to keep doing it?
I would say it was the community that I had met for Destiny.
Really?
You know, like, I had met a pretty big community, you know, I was on their Discord and stuff like that. And, you know, it was just for a while, that's all we played, you know, like raid after raid after raid. And we're doing raids, you know, hour and a half, and you're on to the next raid.
Yeah.
And like everybody we're playing with had all 3 characters. And so like, you'd be like, all right, I did it with Hunter. Let's jump in and let's all switch characters now. And it was nothing. And I want to say that was probably like what hooked me on the stream. Cause you know, I was co-streaming with a couple of these guys occasionally, and you know, we're grinding on them. I'm watching him stream whenever I can't play Destiny,
yeah,
or you know, something like that, you know, especially like when I was at work. You know, I can't play no Destiny, I can't play nothing out there.
Oh, I know.
And so like it was just fun to watch him play Destiny, like, man, that new update, whatever, that just came out, I can't wait to get home and play it, look at these guys grinding all this out,
right? Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was definitely fun. I mean, it was kind of irritating at the same time, because you're like at work and you're like, dang it, I can't do this.
Yeah, they're all getting ahead of you and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. And so, but it was definitely what hooked me into like continuing to be a streamer and like watching streamers. Cause before I started streaming, I never had watched streamers. Like, I mean, I'll watch YouTube clips of, you know, Shroud or something like that, just murking somebody, like usual. And but that's about as far as I go. I'm like, I'm not going to get on Twitch and watch your stream or create a profile or something like that. And so then when I couldn't play Destiny at work or play the, you know, whatever game that I wanted to watch, or like when Smash Bros came out on Nintendo Switch or something like that,
yeah,
you know, I could come and watch people play that game.
Yeah. And it's like you still got to somewhat experience it, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's, I mean, that's pretty dope. So do you have, you've got like internet out where you are, right? Like,
oh, decent? No.
No?
No. You've just run mobile? Off. Yeah, you run off whatever cell service you happen to get. And it really just depends on what city you end up at, because sometimes like you'll be like in rank and you can be AT&T and you'll have perfect service and everything runs great, and you'll have Verizon and it'll be no service. And then you'll move like 30 miles down the road and it'll be opposite. Verizon works perfectly and AT&T doesn't. And, you know, they've gotten better with putting cell phone boosters and stuff in all the houses, but when I first started working for this company, you didn't have all that luxury.
Yeah.
You know, you were out there with whatever service you could get.
The reason I was asking, because I was wondering if like maybe Stadia would be a solution for something like that, but I would imagine you've got to have like 4G or 5G to be able to get Stadia to run on mobile.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I've tried a couple of like, you know, from the mobile app streams or stuff like that. And like I watched the VODs later and I was just like, oh my gosh, nobody want to see that.
I think I watched a couple of those. Like when you first joined the community, you were streaming like from work.
Like yeah.
In the cab or the office or wherever you were. And I was like, I find that shit fascinating. Like I'm an engineering nerd. So like anytime I get to see like different work sites or factories and shit like that, I get really excited. And that was pretty dope.
Yeah, there was some pretty good ones. We, you know, streamed all the monitors and stuff that I usually sit behind. I don't sit behind them anymore. I've moved up from that position.
Yeah.
So, now I just walk around and point at things and just get yelled at a lot. I'm like, okay.
That's how you know you're moving up in the world. You start getting yelled at a lot more.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I get yelled at like once a week.
Yeah, and it's because, you know, you're in a higher position, people expect more out of you. Yeah. So
you have more responsibility and all that shit, but
yeah.
You hope that it comes with more money at least.
Yeah, one of these days.
Yeah, one of these days that'll happen.
Yeah, it'll come with retirement money.
Yeah, right. When I'm 75, I'll be able to retire finally.
Yeah. Well, the goal is to move up to, you know, like working for Chevron as a consultant or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, move up into a consultant place, and then you get paid day rate. And though the oil field price of oil right now is down, like these guys are still getting paid pretty good a day rate.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're looking at
like my gas prices are still two times where they were when I started driving. So it's like, it's not like they're, you know, down that much.
Yeah. No, I think the price of oil was, I checked it the other day before I came home and it was like $50-some.
Oh, and
wow. Yeah, I mean, that's to be in the oil field and see that price, that is low. You know?
Oh, sure.
Like up around 60 or 70s, there's not really anything to worry about. And the company I work for, they, you know, have stacked some rigs, but as far as I know, we haven't put anybody, you know, out of a job. They're moving people around. Yeah. We had a bunch of vacant spots, you know, that they were trying to fill, and then they started stacking the rigs and all these guys had places to go still.
That's good. Yeah, so I used to work for a company called Dresser Rand. This is like 4 or 5 years ago. But one of the big things that they make is the compressors that pump the oil from the ocean floor up onto like the offshore rigs.
Oh, okay.
And like my dad still works there, so I went there because I was lucky enough to, my dad and I kind of work in the same field, like we're both in process improvement type of stuff, and right. So I got the opportunity to work with my dad for like 2 years and kind of learn, you know, under his wing for a little bit, which was really, really cool. But he's still there, and he goes, the production floor is fucking empty. He goes, we've got repair business. He goes, but we're not selling any new compressors because the price of oil's down. Like, they're still, you know, they're still putting guys out on rigs and they're still pumping oil, but they're not buying new machines because the justification just isn't there, you know, for it. Because, like you said, it's the price of oil has dropped so much.
Yeah, especially from just a couple of years ago, whenever it was in the hundreds, you know, people were buying all kinds of stuff. Like, there was new businesses popping up everywhere, especially, like, Midland and even here in San Angelo. Like, there for, I want to say, like, a good 6 months to a year, it was become, like, San Angelo was starting to become like Midland. Like, so many oil field services and hotshot companies and all this was starting to pop up just because,
like, easy to make money at that price.
Yeah, if you didn't do it, like, you would be, you know, dumb. Like, why not do it and just, you know, hot shot a fucking motor out to a rig and make $3,000, and then all you had to do is drive there and they take it off with a forklift and you drive home.
Yeah, right.
You know? Wow. And so, I mean, like, but when you drive around San Angelo now, then you can tell who was, like, had been in the long game and, you know, they've been in the oil field for a very long time.
Yeah.
And had the money to sustain it, and who was there just to, you know, get the quick bucks
and get out. Yeah.
And get out.
I mean, it's kind of like that gold rush scenario, right? It's like the price was up. It was the same thing that happened, like, with Bitcoin back then. You know, Bitcoin hit that big spike, and all of a sudden everybody was a fucking cryptocurrency master. And then you see a lot of people that, you know, it started to come back down, and they sold off, and then it rebounds because, you know, that's what the prices of things do. You know, they go up and down, and but you get that gold rush mentality, and everybody's like, oh, let me get in there and you know, make my money now.
Yeah, I mean, and if you did it and you got out and, you know, you did it the right way, you could have made some really good money.
Oh, for sure.
Back whenever it was priced at $100, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. As long as you weren't just buying up, you know, oh, I got to go buy a new truck so I can do this. No, like, just use your janky truck and drive it out there. And I mean, you already own everything. And then whenever everything slows down, it ain't nothing lost.
Yeah, you ain't still paying for it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I mean, that's definitely, like, obviously we don't have, like, way up here in New York. Like, there's no oil fields. So it's like, that's like it's an industry that's, like, completely foreign to me. So it's kind of cool to get some inside input from it to see where that shit comes from.
Oh yeah. It was definitely fun whenever, you know, I first started working in the industry. It was just like, everything was like, oh man, this is so cool.
Yeah.
You know,
how long you been in the industry?
Going on 10 years now.
Wow. That's pretty solid. Same company, or you moved around?
No, I worked for a small company before. I worked for the company I work for now, and I've been with them for 8 years.
Wow. Okay. That's cool.
And so, I mean, I've been laid off once or twice. I got laid off on my days off and then was called to come back to work on my regular schedule. Like, hey, no, we made a mistake. Come back.
Oh, my God.
And then I got laid off again, and I want to say it was, what, maybe 3 months?
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's not cool, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's part of the job, right? You always got to have that in the back of your mind.
Yeah, definitely part of the job. And that's the reason why, like, all my money goes to the wife now.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've always been, like, I wouldn't say, like, spend it, like, but if I have it, I will spend it.
I'm the same way. I'm so bad at saving money.
Like, I don't, and my thing is that it is, I don't mind going back to work. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I can go back to work and make the same amount of money and come back home. So it's like, why not spend it while I have it? And so now that we have, you know, the house and the kid and everything else, all my money goes to the wife. That way she can set everything aside.
Yeah, make sure everything's paid for. I do the same thing.
Yeah, she'll come back and she'll be like, here, this is how much you can freely spend on whatever you want. Yeah. You know? And so it's definitely a better idea than what I was doing, because whenever, you know, I got laid off, there was no money to cushion it. It was like, all right, we need to find jobs, and I need to find a job like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And luckily enough, you know, my brother, he does, like, dirt work and pad work, but he did some oil field before he came up, and so we called, you know, pretty much everybody we knew, and there was a couple of jobs. You're like, hey, man, we got some stuff that you can come do. We're not guaranteeing price that you were getting paid, but it's at least something. And I was like, that's fine.
It's money in the bank, you know?
Yeah.
That's cool. So you got a wife and a kiddo, right?
Yes, sir.
And you guys are getting ready to buy a house?
Yeah, we close on June 10th.
Well, it's June 21st, so maybe it's July 10th?
July 10th. My bad. Dude, all I know is it's the very first day that when I come back from work.
Oh, nice. I mean, that's exciting, though.
I don't keep up with dates. I just keep up with work schedule.
Work schedule, yeah.
All right, it's two hitches from now before we go on that vacation. Okay, cool.
y'all pretty excited about a new house?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You got to be in that stressful part now where it's all the paperwork and making sure that all your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted.
Well, actually, that has been, I want to say, the easier parts.
Really?
Because like, we looked at a house that was, like, just outside of our, of what I would say was our safe zone of cost of buying, you know, and it was a very nice house. And I had, no, it's on top of the Xbox. And so, like, it wasn't hard to be like, okay, yeah, we can buy this house, because it was a very nice house.
Yep.
And we both loved it. And we went to start negotiating with the guy, and he didn't want to have anything to do with it. He didn't want to negotiate at all. He wasn't going to drop his price from anything that he had already had it at.
Gotcha. Yeah. And
I was like, well, I can't do that. You know, like, I'm not trying to, you know, steal money from you or like lowball you or anything like that. But if you're not even willing to work with me,
yeah,
then I can't buy your house. I'm sorry. And so, like,
and that's like, that's like one of the hardest things to do.
Oh yeah.
It's like after you fall in love with a house to like walk away from a deal.
Yeah. We were both super down about it. You know, it caused some fights and stuff like that. Yeah. Or, you know, you could tell that we were both down and then something would happen. And
yeah, and you're already yeah.
Yeah. And so I went to work, I want to say like a day after we had decided that, you know, this was done. And it was so hard being at work and being like, man, I want to go look at houses, you know, I've already looked through all the realtor apps, and I've, you know, I don't like any of these houses. When's a new house going to come up and everything else?
Living on Zillow, checking every new fucking listing that pops up every day.
Yeah, and we had our realtor sending us, you know, new houses or, you know, houses that he thought we might like. And I was like, I'm like texting the wife, and I'm like, look, I've already looked at all these dang houses. If there's not a new one, don't send it to me. Like, what do you think I've been doing all day? I've just been staring at homes.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and then I want to say it was 3 or 4 days before I came home that I was like, hey, look at this house. You know, I like it. I like where it's at. I like the location of it, because it's just right outside of town. I don't like being like right in the middle of town.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like, if I can stay on the outskirts of town and drive in.
Yep.
And
same.
Be fine. And so she was like, okay, I'll go look at it. Well, she goes and looks at it and, you know, sends me pictures of it and tried to FaceTime me, but, you know, work service and all that. And so she calls me and she's like, I really love the house. And I was like, okay, well, we can make an offer on it, you know? And, you know, whenever we had first started doing this, there wouldn't, it, you know, I was like, no, I'm not offering on a house that I haven't looked at, you know? Because, I mean, I did construction for a pretty long time.
Yeah.
Since I was about 15. So, like, when I go and look at a house, there's some, like,
stuff looking at the house, right? You're looking at the plumbing and the wiring and how the walls were fucking framed. Yeah. No, I got you.
Yeah. And so, like, well, the thing about that is, like, she'll look at the small stuff.
Yep.
You know, like, oh, well, they have, like, you know, some caulking out here, or, you know, like, there was a putty hole here or something like that. That stuff don't bother me.
Yeah.
That's just somebody who lived in the house, you know, whatever. Yeah,
it's fixable.
My stuff is the big stuff. And, you know, if we're going to get in here and the water heater is going to blow up.
This water heater is 15 years old.
Yeah. And so she sent me pictures of the house and they had, you know, fixed the foundation. They had somebody come and repair the foundation. So there's like big, like 2 foot holes up all the way around the house. And so I, you know, before I even made an offer, I called my realtor and I'm like, hey man, like if they didn't get this done right, I'm not offering on this house. So yeah. you need to call and, you know, see who they used, because stuff like that, whenever you get it done, it comes with a lifetime policy.
Yep.
And so like, I was like, look, I'm not putting an offer on this house unless they have the lifetime warranty on it and everything else. And so he called back within like a couple of minutes and was like, yeah, everything's good. I can send you the paperwork right now. And I was like, cool, let's make an offer.
Yeah.
And so we ended up, and they ended up being a VA loan. Oh, and okay. So they didn't have like a whole big wiggle room, you know.
Gotcha.
They were already having to bring a lot of cash to the table because they moved out. They moved out before the policy says they could, so they were having to pay fees.
Oh, okay.
And so we just offered, you know, the straight offer they were asking for with, you know, them paying a little bit of closing cost.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple of days later they said good. And then my realtor and the mortgage lady that we're using, they've literally handled everything.
Wow, like, that's really nice.
My realtor, he called for the inspector, the pest control, and then the mortgage lady, she had an insurance guy call us. And now we're set up with both of our cars on the insurance policy, the house on the insurance policy, and we're paying cheaper for all of it than we were with mine and her car payment.
It's funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah, it was crazy. So he called me and he was like, look, we're going to knock off like $140 that you're already paying, and the house is going to be, you know, you're going to pay like $130 a month for both of y'all's cars, and you're going to pay $79 for the house. And I was like, that's cheaper than what we're paying for just the two cars.
Yeah. It's funny. We did the same thing. And like, the only downside is like, we're in a flood zone, so we have to pay flood insurance, which is like an extra $100 a month. But yeah, like once we put both of our cars and the house on the same policy, like it ended up going down. I'm like, this doesn't fucking make sense.
Yeah, not at all. And then he was even like, well, you know, Liberty Mutual has this little safe drive thing, so if you do that for a couple months, it'll knock it down some more. And I was like, geez, man, like how low the payment do you want it to be?
Yeah, if you play your cards right, you know, you can save some money. Well, that's cool, man. I'm excited for you. You'll finally have your own game room, I assume?
Oh, yeah. So, until we have, because it's a 3-bedroom that we're moving into, but until we have another kid or somebody stays at the house, I have access to one full bedroom. Yeah. And then whenever, you know, we decide to have another kid or anything like that, there's a utility room in the garage that's probably like 6x10 little room.
Yeah.
And then we're going to use that.
That's dope. That's dope.
Yeah, I was definitely excited because I came home, you know, and I've already made an offer. We've already accepted the house and everything.
Hey, you're pretty much done by the time you got home.
Yeah, and like I hadn't seen the house, and, you know, she was talking about the utility room and, you know, how I can game there. And I was like, well, let me at least see it, you know.
Yeah.
Anything from a photo from a camera looks small. And so I get there and we go into the garage and she was like, you think it's okay? And I was like, it's bigger than I expected. You know, that's like, a pleasant this will be surprise. Perfect. Yeah, it'll be perfect for, you know, 3 monitors, a little small TV for Xbox.
Yeah, why not? And,
you know, like, I won't even need the green screen or anything. I can just Philips Hue light it up and it'll look cool.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be cool. Put a couple shelves and some random shit behind you. You'd be good to go.
Yeah, and then, you know, it looks professional.
You'll be joining the no green screen squad. I'm going to start a stream team for people that don't use green screens.
Heck yeah. That's where it's at.
How about we do some fucking Discord questions?
Let's go for it.
What do you feel like? All right.
Let's do it.
All right. We'll start out with the standard questions. So these are the ones we ask everybody. You're not going to escape them. So the first one is, what's the origin story of your username? Like, where does Squeege come from?
All right. So when I turned 15, I worked as a lifeguard, and every year I would squeegee the pool and clean it.
So you were the squeege.
Yeah, and so finally, when one of the seniors came up, he was like, "Dude, your name's Squeege." He's like, "That's your nickname."
He just decided.
Yeah, you're gonna come with us to this party. Let's go.
Oh, nice. I was like,
cool. Done deal after that. And then, so like, I don't know, maybe like a couple weeks later, I was like, how are we even going to spell this? You know? And he's like, S-Q-U-E-J. That's it. And so then after that, it was everything.
Oh, yeah. It's unique enough that you could probably get it anywhere you go.
Oh, yeah. And so I've never had a problem, like, no matter where. Instagram, Facebook, you know, Twitter, whatever. I've never had a problem. I've never ran into any other person that has it.
It's awesome.
And that's so, like, after, yeah, after that, it was like, it's definitely going to stick because nobody's ever thought about this.
What would the adult version of an ice cream truck sell, and what song would it play?
Oh, snap. I'd probably still sell ice cream, but with, like, alcohol flavor.
Yeah.
Or, like, a shot of alcohol in it, and then, let's see.
Like a root beer float, but hold the root.
Yeah, or a root beer float with, you know, just here's a shot of Jack in it.
That sounds good.
That still sounds amazingly good to me.
I'm down with that.
And if it's an adult truck, it's probably going to play some like really bad 1990s hip hop or something. You know the songs that like come on and you instantly start singing and you're like, oh my god, my kids.
I've always pictured this question as playing some like 80s hair metal.
Oh yeah, that would definitely be as good too. I would definitely. You would just hear it and you'd be like, "Yep, yeah. time for that shot of the day." You know,
time to
Dad's going to get his root beer. Hold on.
Time to get fucking rowdy.
Yeah, exactly.
If an epic feast is being held in your honor, what's on the table?
Probably lasagna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't strike me as a big Italian kind of guy.
Oh no, I love pasta.
Do you?
Yeah, like every birthday or you know Father's Day or anything, probably since I was a kid has been lasagna.
Oh my god, that's amazing. Dude, lasagna is so good though.
It is, and you could do so many good things with it.
And if you make enough, like there's always leftovers, and like next day lasagna is legit.
Oh yeah, next day lasagna is legit for sure. Yeah.
Who was your role model growing up?
I would have to say my uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How come?
Just because. You know, like, I mean, and back then when I was a kid, you know, I had a lot of stuff happening with my mom and everything else.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, that was always the person I'd call out for. Like, I wanted my uncle to come and, like, just make everything better.
Yeah.
And so now that I'm an adult, you know, and I know all the stuff that, you know, my uncle's done in his life, you know, when it comes to drugs and all that.
Yeah.
Even to this day, I'm still like, you know, he's a very big role model just because he's, you know, a lot of the stuff he did messed up his life.
Yeah.
But, you know, now he's, you know, he stays at home, he's single, he takes care of his kids, he works his job, and that's it.
That's good, yeah.
You know, and that's always been my thing, you know, okay. Like, you know, if me and something ever happened to the wife and, like, we split up, my child is my child. Like, I'm going to take care of
him. Yeah, for sure. That's the dad instinct, right?
Yeah, for sure. And see, like, you know, my dad never did any of that, you know,
gotcha.
Like I didn't meet my dad for a very long time. And then,
gotcha.
You know, whenever I did get to meet him and hang out with him and get to know him, he died a couple years after that.
Oh man, I'm sorry. That's terrible.
And so like it was, and I had worked with him. It was more of like a professional thing than even being like a dad, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
And so I definitely wish he was here to see you know, where I'm at in life now, and you know, meet the kid and everything else.
I mean, I'm sure I don't know what you believe, but I'm sure in somewhere in some way, you know, I believe that everybody's looking over us a little bit. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, for sure.
So, favorite flavor of Pop-Tart?
Blueberry.
Yeah.
Definitely blueberry.
Now, yep. Follow up question: do you toast them or do you eat them? Do you eat them raw?
Depends on where I'm at. If I'm at home, I'll probably toast it. But if at work, I just grab them out of the box and I keep moving along with my day.
I have to say, like, I'm amazed at how many people toast Pop-Tarts, because I could probably count on one hand the number of times that I've toasted a Pop-Tart in my life.
Yeah. And it's definitely, like, it really depends on what I'm trying to eat it as. It's like, if I'm eating it, like, anywhere after breakfast, then that's just like a snack. I need some sugar. Let's grab it. Yeah. Let's go.
Need something to kick you in the ass. I grabbed one the other day at work from the cafeteria because of that. Like, I'm like, I need something sweet. Like, I need some sugar to kick me over till 4 o'clock.
And, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they had some like fucking chocolate fudge brownie Pop-Tart. It was more of a cookie than it was a Pop-Tart. But just from talking to people like on the podcast, I'm surprised at how many people like toast their Pop-Tarts on the regular.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy.
So before we get into the questions from the One of Us Discord, I was on the Anti-Meta podcast this past week. There's some good friends of mine. So I pinged their Discord because they asked a bunch of questions of me. So I was like, hey, if you guys want, you know, throw a couple questions up and I'll ask them on my show. So they sent a few over. So I'd like to get through some of these and then we'll jump into the ones from the community of One of Us.
Let's do it.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Yes.
Oh, my man. All right.
I literally just ate it the other day.
Did you really?
we actually threw, like, I didn't throw a fit, but like we always order thin crust, Hawaiian, you know, ham and pineapple. And so we get to the store and the guy's like, here's your pizza. And I was like, all right. So I opened it up and I was like, this is hand tossed, dude. Like, I'm not eating this. And he was like, what? I was like, no, it was supposed to be thin crust. Like, I'm going to sit here until you make a new one. And then he came back and he's like, hey, man, you could take both of them. And I was like, that's cool. Like, you know, because Oliver eats the pineapples off the pizza.
Oh, really?
And he'll like maybe eat one slice.
Yeah.
But he'll try to eat like all the pineapples off the pizza. And so I was like, that's totally fine. Just give me the hand toss one, because then I'll give it to my kid and he'll
eat the pineapples
off of it. Yeah. Yeah, and he'll leave my pizza alone.
That's funny. We Pebble just started because we'll get pizza every once in a while. And the other day, like normally my wife will cut them up into little pieces so he can just like toss pieces of pizza in his mouth. But the other day he's like, no. You know, eat pizza like big boy. And so we gave him like a fucking full size, like we had a large pizza. Like this is a good size piece of pizza. This kid just crushed it, right? Just hold it, like two hands holding it, taking bites out of it. And like he got done and just had like the biggest like smile on his face because he ate the whole slice of pizza like a big boy. It was fucking adorable. But now like now I have to share my fucking pizza with him. And it's, I don't know how long we're going to get along before we got to order two pizzas.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely becomes a problem because I'm like, I'll eat a good half a pizza by myself.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, I already had to cut into that, you know, for the wife and now him too, man. It's getting rough.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the other day we were eating pizza and I turn over and like, I already have like the last slice in my hand and my wife just looks at me and she's like, you didn't even ask. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm eating this last slice. It's happening.
Does the refrigerator light turn off when you close the door?
Yes, it does.
Does it? Okay. All right, good. Are you sure?
Yes.
Have you ever looked?
Yeah, I did the whole try to peek thing, and then I realized you just flip the switch and you can watch it turn off.
I like it. If a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It does. Yeah.
I believe it has to.
Yeah, I definitely believe it has to.
So here's one. What's the weirdest thing you've eaten?
Oh, man. Probably. So I had a Derek can.
A what?
And a Derek can. He works the Derek on the So everything from the floor up is his, and he works. He like maintains the pits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But he was an older guy, and he always used to eat these like canned oysters.
Oh.
Yeah, and I was like, what? And it was either like canned oysters or canned anchovies.
Oh.
And it was all the time. And he was like, yeah, dude, you just gotta try one. I was like, no, not having it. And so for like the longest time, I wouldn't try one. And then I was like, all right, you know, whatever, go ahead. And dude, disgusting. I do not recommend it.
Oh, like I want to vomit just thinking about that right now.
Yeah, I ate the whole thing. And after that, he was like, you want another one? I was like, no. I was like, don't ever ask me again. Yeah.
No, I'm fucking good on that one.
But I would watch that dude eat like 4 or 5 cans of those and like, no problem. Like nothing. These are good. I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, oh, man.
So I've had oysters before. But this was like in like North Carolina, like at a nice restaurant, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And they're good. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, oysters are fucking good.
Yeah, I love oysters, Rockefeller or something like that.
But
yeah.
Out of a can? Oh.
No.
Oof. That's rough. That's rough.
Yeah, it was definitely rough.
I got to give you credit for at least trying it, though. Like, you didn't bitch out. That's good.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What's your favorite type of popsicle?
Oh, man. Probably one of those, like, orange sherbet push pops.
Oh, man, I forgot about push pops. Like the Flintstones push pops from back in the day?
Yeah, or the ones like my grandma used to get the ones from Schwan's Man all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good shit. No, I want some push
pops. She probably actually still has some in the freezer if we drove down there.
grandmas are good at that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, so they have a lot of they call themselves X-Boners, but they've got a lot of Xbox people over there. So they wanted to know what you thought of this year's Microsoft conference, if you watched any of it.
I didn't. I was at work, so I didn't get a chance to watch of it.
Have you heard about the new system?
From what I've seen and stuff like that, the Project Scarlet does look nice.
Yeah.
I would definitely. We were actually, me and the wife were talking about it today because we were talking about whenever I get the game room, my Xbox is going to go obviously in my room.
Oh, and, yeah.
So we'll bring out the other Xbox One and back into the living room so that, you can watch the Netflix and stuff on the living room. And she was like, well, what are we going to do, about the, bedroom having an Xbox? And I was like, well, I know you're not going to like this, but next year. New Xbox comes out. And see, I just bought my Xbox One X not even that long ago. And before we bought it, I was like, we might just wait because, next year they're supposed to come out with a new one, but they hadn't released anything.
Just want to ask you something.
Yeah.
Y'all know there's cheaper ways to watch Netflix than an Xbox, right?
Yeah. That's what I told her earlier today. I was like, well, we don't even really use the Xbox in the room because we have the Fire Stick. We use the Fire Stick for Netflix and stuff like that. I was like, so there's not even really any reason. Like, I don't even think the Xbox is plugged up in the room.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, unless you're like using it as a DVD player, but I mean, who watches DVDs anymore, you know?
Yeah. And so I was like, most likely, my Xbox is going to go in my room, and then that will come back into the living room, and then, Oliver will still be stuck with his 360 until we get a better one. And it's so slow. And as soon as it comes on, it like kills all the internet in the house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, you'll be sitting there and like playing on your phone or, FaceTiming or Facebooking or something, and the videos are loading fine, and then we'll turn that Xbox on, and then, like, all of a sudden, nothing loads.
Diverts all power to the Xbox 360?
Yeah.
That's amazing. But
from the videos I've seen and, got to watch on YouTube, the Scarlet Project, or Project Scarlet, definitely is on the list.
Yeah.
Which, if I get it, then, you got to get a new TV because you at least got to get a TV that's the same quality as your Xbox.
Well, obviously.
Yeah, there's no point in not getting one.
I'll be interested to see, like, as we go along, like, when specs and benchmarks come to like start to come out for that thing, like what it actually does, because I mean, I know the conference is all marketing, and like there was a lot of marketing speak and some like misdirection, I think, that's led people to think that it's going to do, you know, 8K at 120 frames per second. But it'll be interesting to find out what, like, what these games can actually do on that system.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's even, I mean, it's tough for you to get 8K, 120 frames per second on your PC, you know what I'm saying? Like,
4K 60 on a PC is, like, just getting to the point where, like, it's kind of attainable for normal people.
Yeah.
Let alone so to go to 8K, yeah.
Yeah, trying to do it on an Xbox that you're trying to mass sell is going to be tough.
Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, I'm glad that, like, this is the first time, though, that the console manufacturers, they've even talked about frame rate, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's never even been a part of their conversation. So, like, that's a good sign that they're at least recognizing that gamers like, you know, higher frame rates and, you know, to go with their visual fidelity.
Yeah, it's that, and, you know, people are starting to pay attention to what actually all matters.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And, you know, these creators are starting to see that, you know, people are starting to see that PCs, you know, can put out a lot more. And
yeah. Oh, I mean, you look at, like, even just in the Destiny space, you know, a lot of the creators moved to PC because, like, the image quality is so much better on PC that the content, it makes the content that they're putting out, you know, look better. You know, YouTubers are able to capture in 4K, you know, and still pull, you know, 60 frames per second, and you haven't been able to do that on console. I hope, and I understand that these things are gonna have to live like these 7-8 year life cycles, and they're never gonna maintain pace with like a PC that can be, you know, upgraded every year or upgraded every couple of years or whatnot. But, like, I hope that there comes a point where, like, the console experience is at least similar. You know, SSD going into Project Scarlet is a big step towards that. You know, getting normal load times and things like that, and then getting to 60 frames per second, I think at least gets you to the point where you can have a solid experience on a console. And hopefully they give it the power and the cooling to maintain that at a stable level.
Yeah, definitely. Which, whenever I was heavy in Destiny, I had the Xbox One, and, you know, people would be, like, blowing by me through loading screens.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So then, you know, I got the Xbox One X, and my buddy had an S, and, like, I, like, jumped through a loading screen, I turned around, and he's still there, and I was like, oh, man, it's so good to not have to do that anymore.
Yep.
So if they can pull off what they're, you know, advertising, or at least close to what they're advertising, it'd definitely be great. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would definitely be good quality.
I really hope so, right? Because frame rate and field of view are, like, the one things that people always point to when they say that they, you know, they don't want crossplay. And obviously, I'm a big proponent of them breaking down the walls to crossplay, so that, you know, I can play with a lot of our community that I really can't play with right now.
Because nobody wants to play with you on PC if you're playing something like Fortnite.
yeah. No, I mean, and I get it, like. People are there's still a lot of misconceptions around it, you know, like Destiny especially. Like, Destiny is very well balanced on a controller, to the point where, like, you can be very successful on a controller on Destiny because of the way Bungie's built that game. And a lot more games are doing that because they understand that not everybody wants to learn mouse and keyboard. So, like, that barrier isn't as big as it, you know, it used to be. But everybody's been, you know, kind of predispositioned to these, like, Counter-Strike and Half-Life and all these games that you had to play on mouse and keyboard because the controller support just wasn't there.
But
they just think that, you know, all of a sudden these PC players are, like, these god-like, you know, snipers.
Yeah.
So.
Which, the shots, whenever I got on PC, the shots that I could hit compared... compared to Xbox, they were different.
Yeah,
like
it's a different skill set, right? Because it's more precision. Where, you know, when I sniped on controller, like in Destiny 1, like, it was about swiping and letting aim assist slow you down enough that you know you could time the trigger pull. where
definitely
mouse and keyboard is more, you know, bringing the reticle to their head and clicking. But I don't necessarily think that one is any, you know, is too far superior, at least in Destiny 2 on PC, like, than the other. The issue right now that separates the consoles and PCs in that game is just the frame rate.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, how many times the game ticks, and it makes different weapons feel different, it makes different, you know, supers feel different, and
Oh, yeah.
So, hopping into the One of Us Discord, Chaotic asked a really good question I wanted to get your opinion on. I don't know why I didn't think to talk about this before, but she said, what is it like to be a part of the Embers for All test on Mixer, and what does it do for the platform?
Well, I was actually having a pretty good time on the Embers for All test. It was just difficult with my schedule.
Yeah.
Because I want to say I was in Embers for All the V2, and, you know, I ended up having to work 21 days, and I pretty much missed the whole test.
Well, it goes till August, right? Like this one?
Yeah.
Does? Yeah. So you got some time.
So I still got some time, you know, and I got 3 more days before I go back to work and 14 more days off. So,
of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I've pretty much missed the test, but I think it's a great thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of bringing what Twitch had, you know, with, like, you can go affiliate and you can start earning a little bit, and it makes it more of something you want to grind out, something you want to get better on.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, even if, you know, because that on, like, on Twitch, you do the bits, you're only getting, like, 1 cent, I think, out of every bit.
Yeah.
And, but even then, it's, like, it's still something.
Oh,
I was doing doing all this for nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So it definitely, whenever the Empress test, the first one came out, and, you know, I was actually able to be home and do a lot of it, it was definitely, like, it's super exciting, and, you know, it wasn't, I didn't do it for, like, you know, let me see how much I can make or anything like that. I wanted to do it so that, you know, anything that I made, I could give back to whoever was giving to me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it definitely brought, like, a little bit wider community. I had some guys come to my channel that, you know, were strictly from the test, and, you know, and now they, you know, I hang out in their channel all the time. They hang out on my channel all the time. So,
yeah, it was a cool way to find people, like, through that Discord. Like,
yeah,
there was some, you know, people that I probably wouldn't follow that were in the test. But I found some pretty cool people through that test, just spending, like, a Saturday night just going through the whoever was live from in that Discord and checking some people out.
Yeah, definitely.
So the grind obviously hasn't been going too well this test, right?
Right. Yeah. I'm not disappointed in anything.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I knew I was gonna have to work. Like, at the beginning of the test, I already knew I had to work the 14 days, and then when, you know, the house stuff came in, we ended up having to work the, you know, almost 21 days, and so, you know, I never set a goal for it or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, I was just, and, you know, you come in and you spend the embers on the channel, I'm super excited about it.
I know.
Like, you know, I think Devils came in and, like, dropped 800, and I was just like, you're crazy. You know
that?
Like, you know, like, and it was one of those things where it was like, like, it just, like, shut me down almost, because it was just like, holy man, like,
it's hard, like, it's hard to process it sometimes, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I always struggle with that, like, whenever anybody is in my channel, like, giving me money or, you know, donating embers or, you know, anything like that, like, I don't know, like, it's, I don't feel like I deserve it, so, like, I find it hard to react to it without, you know, feeling like I'm not seeming genuine, you know what I mean? When I am,
definitely.
Like, it floors me whenever that happens. So.
Yeah, and that's how I felt about it was, you know, like, it happened, and then, you know, like, I'm so shocked that it happened that I couldn't even, like, really react to it, you know? And my thing was, like, even though I got into it, like, I make really great money.
Yeah, you know? Same.
And so it was like, you know, when people did it, I was like, man, y'all don't have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And it's always been one of those things where, like, you know, just like you giving me the money feels weird because, you know, like, I make a lot of good money.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I've got a decent job. Like, I'm not doing this to make a quick buck.
Yeah.
But the fact that people enjoy what you do and, you know, appreciate what you do and want to help support your ability to do it, you know, more is it's incredible. I had a pretty emotional stream in relation to the Embers for All test. I was playing Dauntless and I had a random person come in.
Oh yeah, I remember this.
Yeah, he came in. He just found me in the Dauntless directory and hung out for a little bit, shooting the shit. We were having a good time. Like, I was having a ton of fun with Dauntless at the time. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and the guy just started dropping embers, and he ended up filling like my bar and having me shut off embers like that night. Never met him before. Yeah. I was like, dude, you really don't have to do this. Like, you're insane. And I didn't know how to thank him. He's like, I just like supporting people and giving, like, helping them do what they want to do. And he goes, and when I see people that are good at it and are passionate about it, he goes, I want to be able to help that thrive. And like, that alone just means like so much, you know. But it was tough. Like, I shut stream off that night, and I sat back and I just like stared at the wall for like a couple minutes, because like, I didn't know how to react to it, you know. And I had stayed on late because obviously, like, I wasn't gonna stop in the middle of that. But
yeah,
I crawled into bed at like 3:30, and my wife looked over at me, and she was like half asleep. She's like, "What the fuck are you doing coming to bed at 3:30 in the morning?" I'm like, I just made like $500. She goes, "What?" And like, all of a sudden she's awake, and I'm like, yeah, I don't really know how to react to it. And like, yeah, my mind was like racing like so much, just thinking about everything that had just happened, that I didn't even sleep that night. I was like, there's no fucking point.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to go to sleep after something like that.
Yeah, but it was wild, man.
Yeah, I definitely. I actually remember the night because I jumped on and I was like, "Dude, what are you doing up so late?" You know, because it was already like 2 something in the morning here.
Yeah, dude, it was
late. An hour ahead, and it was like, oh man, dude.
Yeah, it was.
I don't ever see you stream this late, you know.
No, it was wild, and it was funny. It was one of those nights where like I wasn't gonna stream, and I'm like, you know what, fuck it. Like, I'm playing some Dauntless. This way, if people come in and want to play, like, they can jump in, and you know, I mean, I'm glad I'm glad I did, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Curly Dino asked, what's your favorite part of the One of Us community?
I would definitely say the actual community part in that, because, like, I've been a part of some other communities, you know, where they had, like, big partner streamers and stuff like that, and, you know, you didn't ever see them.
Yeah.
They never really came to your channel or nothing like that. You'd see them, you would go to their stream and hang out. You know, and it was a one-way ticket. Yeah, I've been subbed to them and stuff like that. And I want to say it was maybe 3 or 4 streams of me hanging out in Rob's channel.
Yeah.
And he jumped on my channel and hosted whenever I came live.
Yeah.
And like, I hadn't seen that before. It like blew my mind. Like, this dude didn't even really know me. Like, I hung out in your stream a couple of times, you know, and like, I've only been part of the community, and you know, of course I knew Brew, but like, I didn't know you, and you were gonna come over here as a partner and drop like 60 people on me or something like that, and it's like
no big deal.
Yeah. And everybody in the One of Us community has done it.
Yeah,
you know. And
so wait, that's like even before like Rob was partnered, and Obi and Moody, and you know, we got Devils and Crouton, and you know, even before, like, when it was just 100 of us, like, that was always the way that we operated. Was like, when I would go to Endstream and host, like, the first thing I did was I looked for anybody on the team. If somebody on the team was on, you know, I'd throw them the host. After that, I looked in the mixer section. If somebody had posted that they had gone live, I'd check to see if they were still live, and they'd get the host. You know what I mean? Like, that's always been, like, that's since day one, that's been the mentality. And I think that's, you know, we say that we want to help each other grow, and like, you can say all the shit that you want, but the proof is in the pudding, you know?
Yeah, you can't And that's how I feel about it. You can't really be like, oh, I'm all about community if you host like the same two or three people every time. Like,
yep.
You know what I'm saying? And I have never, since being part of One of Us community, have ever felt that was,
yeah,
you know, where I've been part of other communities and part of other stream teams where it was like, dude, you host or you co-stream with the same two people every day. Like,
yeah,
you know, and that's not a community. That's you trying to grow yourself, and that's it.
It's funny because like, since I got my new job, I've lost the ability to watch as many streams as I used to be able to.
Yeah.
And the part that kills me the most about that is I don't get to just kind of scroll through the Mixer channel and visit and meet like a lot of the people from the community that I used to be able to. Because I used to just, I'd watch Rob in the morning and then I'd flip through the Mixer channel and I'd try to catch like people that I had seen in the community, you know, throughout the day. And like, I'm not afforded that luxury anymore. And that's like the part that kills me the most, because I used to love doing that.
Oh yeah, I love being able to, you know, find a small streamer.
Yeah.
You know, even if I've, you know, because I've had the issues where we've hosted somebody and had like, you know, 10, 15 views, and, you know, they come in with a raid and spam and everything, and people get mad and block.
Yeah.
Like, blocked everybody. And I was just like, holy crap. And then, you know, sit there and talking crap about how 10 views or 15 views wasn't a big, and, you know, it was like, dude, you had like 3 views before this. Like,
yeah. Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, but I've come across some people who like, it absolutely floors them when I
yeah.
do it.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know?
And I think like, so like, obviously I know that I'm not Rob. Like, I'm not Obi. I'm not, you know, I'm not a partner. But I also know yeah. that, like, to people in our community, like, that founder tag under my name means something.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, I like to be able to come into people's channels that are maybe new to the community, or, you know, have just kind of gotten introduced into the community, and just stop by and say hi and have a quick conversation, maybe drop a host. And, like, I know that, like, that alone, like, even if it's not a 50, 60 person host, you know, the fact that I have, you know, the founder's tag on my name and shit like that, like, I know that can make somebody's day.
Oh yeah.
And that's like, that's what I want to do. Like, I love the ability to just like make people happy, make people smile. And I think that's like the biggest piece that I miss about like my daytime watching habits dwindling.
Yeah, definitely.
So, all right. Last question. Curly asks, you only have 10 minutes to watch a stream. Whose stream you go to watch?
Oh man,
putting you on the spot.
Yeah, no. Well, let's just say like if everybody was on,
yeah,
and everybody was playing their game,
yeah,
it's either going to be you playing Destiny, just because I want to watch Destiny,
yeah.
Or it's gonna be Devils like on a Tuesday when he's doing Tuesday trivia, because me and my wife participate in that so much.
Oh, dude, Tuesday trivia is super fun. I finally caught it. I normally miss Tuesday trivia because obviously Tuesday's reset day. So, you know, it's always Destiny raids and power leveling and shit.
But oh,
I
don't yeah.
remember what it was. I think he was on late or something like that. And I caught him after one stream and I was there for Tuesday trivia. That shit's a blast, man.
Oh yeah. It's so much fun. And like, I'll pull it up on the laptop and my wife will be like, what are you doing? And I'm like, Tuesday trivia. And she's like, okay. And then she's
oh,
like,
yeah,
really?
Fuck yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, she's into it. So like, she's like, what's the next question? Tell him to ask another question. I'm like, hold on. Like, he just barely asked one.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, cool, man. But, dude, I appreciate you you making some time in your busy work life schedule to hop on the podcast with us.
Yes, sir. I had an amazing time.
You're one I've wanted to have on for a while, but it's just been tough to schedule. In fact, I think we could say this now. Like, you were supposed to be on last week,
yeah.
And then your work schedule got bumped, so I swapped you yeah. and Curly. So luckily, Curly was like on holiday, like in Scotland or something. And she's like,
she was able to call in.
Yeah, she's like, I got my laptop. She goes, I'll call in. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, I appreciate it. But yeah, no, I'm glad we got to have you on.
Yeah, it's definitely been a little scheduling issues with work here recently. I'll be glad whenever we move in the house and everything gets settled back down.
Yeah, you'll at least be able to relax a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
You got any time off for the fourth coming up?
Let me see what the schedule says.
I gotta look.
Yeah, I got a special calendar that marks all the days. So the fourth I'm working. Yeah, we come home on July 10th.
All right, yeah. So you're like the week after fourth.
Close.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's all definitely July 10th and probably through that weekend that I definitely have to be home because that's when we close on the house and all the and yeah, right. And all that jazz.
Seems like it'd be an important time to be home.
Yeah, definitely. But this is a year that we start the schedule actually starts rolling the holidays. So like December, I get off on Christmas Eve instead of having to work all through Christmas.
Ah, that's nice.
Yeah, so the last 7 years I have worked all the holidays.
That's terrible.
And then they swapped my schedule and I was gonna have another 7 years of not working holidays, and they were like, "Well, we're gonna move you, this guy, and y'all are gonna swap sides again. And so you're back on your regular schedule." And I was like, "Yeah, there we go, we got holidays. So the next 7 years I'll have holidays." As long as I don't change schedules again.
I mean, that's good. I'm glad.
Yeah, which, I mean, me and the wife had already gotten kind of used to it. We just do, you know, you do everything before. You do Thanksgiving before.
Yeah. You work around it, obviously, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Especially, like, as the little man gets a little bit bigger, like, you're going to want to be there for Christmas and shit, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So, well, dude, thank you so much for coming on. I had a great time.
I had an amazing time. Thank
you,
sir.
We went fucking super long, which is awesome. Like, we had some good conversations, though. But why don't you tell the people if they want to find more Squeege, where can they find you?
You can find me at mixer.com/Squeege, at twitch.tv/I'm Squeege.
Oh, snap.
I know, somebody took it. I didn't even realize it. I got over that. I think it's something that I created like a long time ago. I just can't remember.
It probably is yours. You just don't have an email anymore.
Yeah. And then the YouTube is like a bunch of numbers because you got to have 100 subscribers for you get.
You got links on your page though, right?
Yeah.
So like people go to your page, they can find your YouTube link?
Yeah, they can find it all.
Yo, go follow all that. Make sure you follow YouTube so you can get that hot Harry Potter content.
Yeah, the Harry Potter content's coming to YouTube.
Beautiful.
Me walking around in the Texas sun. Burning up for this content.
Sounds sweaty.
It does.
I'll stay in the air conditioning and just get sweaty on Destiny.
Oh yeah, what we normally do is like I'll drive the truck and then like there's an area downtown that just like super populated with all the stuff that you need to collect, and I'll just park right in the middle of it.
Oh, perfect.
And then like if there's like that one that you just can't reach because you didn't park just right, you'll get out of the truck and walk over there and. All right, swipe that, and then get back in the truck.
Run back to the air conditioning. I love it. All right, y'all. You can find me Mixer, Facebook, Instagram, Roxy Roller, YouTube, Roxy Roller TV, and Twitter, Roxy Roller 1. Squeege, once again, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, sir.
And everybody else, we'll talk to you later. Bye. And that'll be it for the 27th episode of the One of Us Community Podcast. Huge thanks to Squeege for taking the time out of his busy schedule to chat with us. Please make sure you follow this podcast wherever you receive podcast content. We're now on all major platforms. If possible, please rate and review the podcast. This will move us up in the search results and help others find the community. Additionally, you can now sub to the podcast at anchor.fm/OOUcompod/support. Don't forget to join the Discord at discord.gg/oneofus to chat with all of our guests and submit questions for future episodes. Additionally, we featured LFG, streaming and tech support, monthly game giveaways, and great conversation with over 2,000 members. You can find me on Mixer, Facebook, and Instagram at RockCityRoller, YouTube at RockCityRollerTV, and Twitter at RockCityRoller1. For more awesome content from the One of Us stream team, be sure to check out the team page on Mixer, www.mixer.com/team/oneofus. I wish I'd include all those links in the show notes as well. Next week, I will be joined by the one and only iStars for an awesome interview. I'm looking forward to it. But until then, I'm Roxy Roller, and this has been the One of Us Community Podcast.